FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYNResources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/27/19. One more day to go to this glorious month. It's been a great month for the stock market, great month for precious metals, not so great a month for breaches and computer hacks and people taking and using your data, whether it be the legal robber barons of the digital age, Facebook, Twitter, Google, all of them, Amazon, or whether it's the outlaw hackers. You got to be on your guard no matter what. As always, we welcome you to write us with any questions or comments. If you've been the victim of a hack or know somebody who has, have an interesting story, just write us kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, you know that it's a digital minefield out there. You never know what link you're going to click or what email you're going to open that opens up your entire life to hackers and ne'er-do-wells. And it's worse now than it's ever been, which is why we've got Rob Ragusa with us now. And you can find Rob over at ditcanada.com. Rob, you're an expert in computer security. With everything that's going on, and welcome, by the way, with everything going on, with all of the hacks, all of the breaches, you're a sitting duck, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. You're out there, and you don't know what to trust sometimes because these hackers are getting very clever at trying to pull one over their target, let's say. Quick example, just yesterday, actually, an individual was sent an email that looked very legitimate from their boss saying, I need you to do this right away. And it involved a credit card transaction. So, of course, the employee went right to it and did the transaction of about $300-$400. And it turned out it was a scam. The boss never actually sent the email and someone else had sent it on his behalf.
Wow.
So you can see how it can be a problem to a lot of people and a lot of different situations, even in real corporate America.
That was a pretty creative hack. And that's the thing. So you always need to be on your guard. But that one, I mean, most people would have fallen for that, right?
Most people do. And that's what they're banking on, is there's a small percentage of individuals that are going to follow through with whatever scam is being deployed. There's ones right now where, with certain websites that you've had passwords and usernames on, some of the hackers have been able to get into them, pull the username, pull the passwords. And what they'll do is they'll send out emails to those individuals saying, hey, we got your password and we know what you've been up to. And they do a series of scare tactics and they say ridiculous things as if they were, caught doing some things they shouldn't have been doing. And then they demand some money and then they'll go away if money is given to them. So it is a scary world that we live in. And that's why we need security protection.
Yeah. So some things, though, like that really wasn't so much the one with the credit card, wasn't so much a really creative computer scam. It was more social engineering, getting you to believe something that wasn't so. And then you go and you do it. And then they have the keys to the mansion. So a lot of these things you have to realize are just really continuations of old fashioned scams and have been adapted and updated to the digital age, right?
That's right. And websites themselves are getting more and more attention. We ran a stat the other day and we see about 80,000 attempts per minute on websites where hackers are trying to attempt some sort of breach to get in, whether they're trying to steal information or, you know, inject some sort of promotion, some product or something that is going to fulfill their needs right into the website. So there's continuance of attempts and hacks. And because there's billions of them, they're getting into them. And half the time, the business owners don't even know that they've been a victim.
Yeah. So what about cloud computing? Does that make you even more susceptible?
Yeah. Cloud computing itself can be very strong in terms of security and protection. It will, however, still be a target, unfortunately, because when it comes down to it, it's what's running on that system and how is that system being monitored and who's monitoring it. I know one of the big corporations, Microsoft, for example, they take their security very seriously. And with their cloud computing system and their Office 365, they are always ensuring that their data is well protected and putting in a lot of money invested into protection. So, you know, you got to look at some of the things where, you know, new services come out and we all jump on board thinking, you know, it's another monthly subscription to some sort of service that may be beneficial to us. But what is the underlying security? What data am I giving up? What access are they having? So these are some of the kinds of questions we need to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So what are some ways to protect yourself? Obviously, that one where they send you a text with a code. I encounter it with banks now. I get on the phone with them and they say, all right, you near your cell phone, because they have your cell phone number. We're going to send you a text. Read us back the code. That seems to be a very effective way. There's not a lot of ways around it now, is there?
Unfortunately, no. And the banks are doing a better job at educating their customers. And it all comes down to continued education, enlightenment, awareness. Unfortunately, that's just what it's come down to, because it's become a clever, as you said, social engineering type of scam. So the real way to protect oneself is to always question what they're going to give up and whether or not they initiated the call or they initiated what they're about to do, or if it was a call they've received or an email they've received. Most of the time, banks don't reach out to you unless there's a fraud. Let's say it's a credit card, there's a fraud detection, and they reach out to you letting you know that, hey, did you make this purchase? They'll usually get right into what the issue is. They won't start asking you for information on those types of calls. So when you do get a call beyond that, it's likely a scam, especially if it's from the IRS, you know, asking you for information or calling us back. There's a serious matter.
You know that.
Yeah.
That one's, I know somebody, lady, you're going to be put in jail. And she was been here quite a while, but she fell for it, sent them $5,000. And, talk to the FBI and money's gone. Nothing you can do. So, you know, I've gotten those calls, so-called calls from the IRS. And I just I really go into them, call them thieves and scammers and curse them and scream at them. And, it's just the world we live in now. And not much that you can do about it. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, it becomes an awareness point, and literally pointing out to them when they do call that they are scamming, and you know, why are you doing this, and you know, getting them to kind of change their mind. You know, if everyone started doing that, certainly would make some sort of effect, and it could potentially reduce. You know, the person may question at the other end, why are they doing it? So it's, you know, it's, I encourage people to do something like that. In terms of websites and security themselves, there are a lot of different ways you can protect by having your website secure. A lot of sites out there, when you visit them, will show you whether or not they're secure right at the top. Usually it's around the top left. And you can see if the site is secure by usually a green or gray symbol that looks like a lock. So I always encourage people to look out for that. And if it's not secure, it usually will say now not secure. So that's a good indication on whether or not you're on a site that's secure. As one of the, you know, 10 things I would check off on your list, you know, where you're putting your information. If it's a site that you're about to put your credit card in and it says not secure, I would not do it.
Yeah. Well, but one thing is a credit card is the safest form of payment on the planet, basically, short of doing a face-to-face transaction where you give money for goods or services. I was watching a video by Frank Abagnale, and he said that's what he does. Every transaction, credit card, because the bank is behind you there. You can only be held liable for up to $50. And the reality is they never even ask you for the 50. I mean, isn't the credit card payment the safest form of payment?
As a payment itself, very safe because it is backed up by the banks and also fraud detection departments and their own security measures. Usually the customers will get alerts of international credit card charges. So if there was an instance where someone's card was compromised and there's a charge on it that, you know, they were disputing, there's a good chance that they would obviously take it off and sort it out. But what would happen after that is the card would need to get destroyed, a new number would need to be sent out. And so it becomes more of an inconvenience sometimes, where the individual has to then reset up any pre-authorized payments with their credit card, especially if it's a corporation that is doing a large volume of transactions every month. Those are the most inconvenient situations, but you're right. It is a secure method of payment. The other piece when putting in your information on a website is, you know, what if it's certainly not secure and you're giving your name, your social insurance number, you know, those kinds of pieces of information, then you likely will be a target for some sort of fraud.
Yeah. So, but worst comes to worst. So you rip up the card, slice up the card, and they send you another, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a way that they handle it, and it becomes little easier that way. We do have a support system in place, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. So other things though, like when you use a debit card, that could really be a problem because it takes your money right out of your account, and then you have to fight to get it back, and the burden's on you to prove that it was a fraud, right?
Oh, instantly, yeah. The amount of debit scams that have occurred, that one I mentioned just earlier in our call about the employee making a purchase right away, that was money that I believe it could have been on a debit card. I believe that one was a credit card, but that one, because the amount was so small, it could have been a $300 debit card transaction, in which case, yeah, the money would have been lost. So it's a big ripoff, that's for sure.
Yeah. A big ripoff. And so you got to be very wary of this stuff, right?
Yeah, it's an awareness point. And if anyone owns and runs and operates a website, there are a list of security points that one needs to get put in place. One of them is ensuring that they have the latest protection that detects if and I'm talking about the business now, right? If their business is being a target for an attack, because the business itself will host and contain customers, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of customers, hundreds of thousands, and all that data. So if the business itself doesn't have their stuff together security-wise, then the business will then have the problems, the lawsuits, the bad reputation, and it likely will not be trusted again if there's a breach that occurs. So there's a security checklist that we need to go in place for everyone that has a website.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So one thing you can insure against these losses, right? You are actually, there are provisions in your insurance policy for data loss, data theft. I'll tell you a story. It didn't deal with any hackers or anything, but years ago I had a printing company. We had a server. I had like 8 salesmen who basically ran the business off of that server. And the server just blew up one day and we were out of business for like 5 days till we were able to reconstruct the data. And because the internal hard drives were fried, everything was fried, and buy a new server, get it back up. And, you know, I got a check from the insurance company for like $25,000, and that didn't pay for all the losses by any stretch, but it certainly helped. It bought us a new server and it really did make a difference there.
Yeah, that's a good point. In business, you need to have the proper insurance that will cover those instances. If you are running any server or equipment or with customer data online, we call them online properties, websites, then you want to just check with your insurance and ensure that you have all the correct coverage. Because sometimes whoever sets up the policies may not know exactly all the ins and outs. So that's a good thing to check.
Very, very true. And I've seen it over and over again where people had business insurance. It was just a matter of getting a rider and yet you failed to do it. And, you know, sometimes you're your own worst enemy, right?
That's right. It can be that way. And it's unfortunate. And it's often too late to find out after the fact.
Mm. Yeah, that's really true. So somebody who's just getting a computer at the store today, what do you do? What do you do to protect yourself?
If you're just getting a new computer and it happens to be like, let's say, a Windows machine, they usually come installed with some sort of trial of antivirus program, whether it's Norton or there's other ones like Kaspersky. These are very good tools and they cost a little bit of money, but they often are able to help detect malicious things that occur on the day-to-day. You know, you could get an email. It could contain some sort of malicious piece of code. It could contain some sort of virus. These programs will actually prevent and stop them and safeguard you. Without them, you know, the virus could exist and it could brew and it could cause problems. So that would be the first step of security, is just making sure that those security softwares are enabled and working. And for whatever little money they cost, it will go a long way.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, I've seen it before where, you know, you're unprotected. Mac computers, not quite as susceptible to hacks as PCs. Is that correct?
That's the word on the street. Macs are, you know, have a really good reputation for not getting as many threats and viruses and malicious attacks than PCs do. That's definitely a fact.
Mm. So that is a fact. So it's not just not just rumor out there. Interesting. All right. Hey, well, it's been great having you on. Just tell us, where do we find you again? What's your site?
Yeah, you can go to ditcanada.com for more information about website and website security. And we do free security audits on companies' websites as well. So you can always contact us if you want us to check things out.
Excellent. All right. Oh, we really appreciate it. Any questions, comments? Email us, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And if you're listening on a podcast or YouTube and there's a subscribe button, please subscribe, like, and share us. Really helps a lot when you do that. Helps me get the word out, helps the show get more popular. And Rob, been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.